Okay, tonight starts Hanukkah, and I've already been being bombarded by shilas about where to light, if you're going to be home late, if you're not home, if you're going to be away for Shabbos, if you're going to be flying on a plane. So it's a very, very complicated sugya, and a lot of details in the halachos of if you're a guest at somebody's home, or if you're just not home, what you do about Ner Hanukkah. The Gemara Masech Shabbos Daf Chav Gimel Maral says that when Rabbi Zera was single, before he was married, and he was learning in the yeshiva that was out of town, he would pay a small sum of money to his host, and in exchange for a small portion of the oil and the wicks for the Ner Chanukah, and that way he'd be Yotzei his mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And it's clear from the Gemara that if you're away from home on Chanukah, you should fulfill the obligation by participating together with the host. And in fact, Shulchan Aruch Ar Chaim Siman Tav Reish Ayin Zayin Sif Aleph says just that. A guest has nobody lighting for him at home, he has to give a small amount of money to his host in order to participate in Ner Chanukah. But there are a lot of qualifications and details about that halacha and exactly the application, when that Gemara applies, how that Gemara applies. First of all, there's a discussion in the Rishonim already. Do you actually have to pay, or is it good enough for him to do some other form of kinyan? The Rashban is Chuvas Chelik Aleph Sim Tavkov Mem Beis says that the exchange of actual money is not necessary. He just has to give oil and wicks through some valid form of kinyan. The Magen Avraham, Tafresh Ayin Zayin Aleph, and the Pri Chadosh and the Sharet Zion explain that it's not enough to just say, I'm giving you oil as a gift. You actually have to perform some sort of kinyan, a kinyan agva, a kinyan sudar. So you either have to actually give money, or you got to do some other form of kinyan. There are some achronei achronim that suggest that maybe even without a ma'aseh kinyan, it's just understood, and he's gomer m'shabei nafshei or something like that. That pashtus is not that way at all, that there has to be some transference of money or some actual kinyan. Now the Bach writes that he quotes the B'shem the Aguda, that when the guest buys the oil from the host has to actually add extra oil in order for the guest to fulfill his mitzvah. And it's not just good enough that I'm paying for a portion of your oil, he has to actually add some more oil. So the Bach and the Prima Gadim both explain what the Aguda means is that you just have to add enough oil that someone passes by, he'll realize that it's not just one person's menorah. That one person never would have put that much oil in, so there's a little more than usual, you should realize that that there's a second person that's fulfilling his mitzvah through that menorah. So based on that, the Bach says, you don't have to put in an extra half hour worth of oil, just a little bit extra oil that the passerby will notice. That there's extra oil there. The Elia Rabba says that he doesn't agree with that. He thinks that you have to add a full extra half hour because you're trying to fulfill your obligation, and the amount that you need is a half hour's worth of oil. So he thinks the Aguda means that you need to put in a whole extra half hour's worth of oil. Shurmach points out, very hard to understand what this is about. Adding in a half hour's extra worth of oil doesn't make any sense because there's no din called a half hour. The din is Achatichla Regal Menashuk. So what? Now it's going to light a half hour past the Zman? But that's meaningless. Who cares that it's lighting a half hour past the Zman? This is the Zman that it lights. So how does that help you in any way? So the Rabbi doesn't make sense. The Bach is very hard to understand also. A passerby is going to notice how much oil there is. I think the minig is that we assume that you don't add any oil. We assume against that Aguda, and we just pay for some of the oil that's already there, especially the prefab oil glasses that are the way they come. So there's plenty of oil in there already, and we assume that you don't add extra oil for a guest. Now, there is a discussion, Mishra Brura and Tafresh Ayin Zayin, Sivkot and Gimel suggest that it's best not to pay money. Rather than paying money, light your own menorah when you're a guest at somebody's house. Instead of trying to fulfill through the host, just light your own menorah. And he says, nowadays the prevalent custom is everybody in the house lights their own menorah, and not to be yotzei with the Baal HaBayis anyway. So if someone passes by and sees that there's not an extra menorah, they're going to think the guest didn't light at all. So the Mishra Brura thinks it's best for the guest to light at home. Rav Shechter in Be'ikvei Atzon quotes Salvechik disagreed with this. Salvechik did not believe that this was correct, because he said, no, the din of paying money is not a din. The din of a shtatvus bepruta is not just a din that it's as good as lighting at home. It's that the din of Ner Chanukah is din in the bayis, that it's hadlaka beveso. You have to do Ner Chanukah in your house. When you're a guest, it's pashut, not your house. So what does giving money do? It's kovei you as one of the b'nei habayis. So if you're not kovei yourself as one of the b'nei habayis, lighting lighting your own menorah doesn't do anything. It's not your mitzvah in that house. When you pay the money, it's koveh you as one of the bnei abayis. So you go away for Shabbos Chanukah, and you want to know what to do about Ner Chanukah. So the halacha is, Rav Shechter says, b'shem Rav Soloveitchik, and he paskins this way as well, is don't ask to light your own menorah. Give a dollar to the host to participate in the oil and the wicks of his lighting. Now that's all if you don't have somebody back home for you. What if you are away and you have somebody back home lighting for you? So the Gemara Masech Shabbos Daf Chaf Gimel says that once Rabbi Zeira got married, he wouldn't join in the lighting of his host anymore when he was away for Chanukah. He would fulfill his obligation by having his wife light for him at home. So the Shulchan Aruch in Tafrei Shayin Vav Siv Gimel says that only somebody who doesn't have someone lighting at home for him is allowed to make the bracha of Shasa Nisim when he sees Ner Chanukah. Seems to apply that if you do have somebody lighting at home for you, you should not make that bracha. But in Tafrei Shayin Zayin Siv Gimel, Shulchan Aruch says explicitly that Yesh Omrin, that even one who has somebody lighting for him at home, should light with brachos later because he's obligated to see the Ner Chanukah. So the Mishnah Berurah recommends that if you choose to light on your own, even though you have someone lighting at home, you should be sure to light before your wife lights at home for you, so that you could have specific intention not to fulfill your obligation with your wife's lighting at home. But what you do see also is that very clearly that if, let's say, someone asked me today that they're not going to get home till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. The guy's in Kollel Seder, it's 6:30, then he's got Azrieli. He's not going to get home till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. But his wife is home during the Zman. So one can certainly be Yotzei having his wife light at home for him. Question is, can he make brachos later on? So Pashtus is not. Pashtus is if he wants to light again later on, he doesn't have to, he's ready to go to his wife, but if he wants to light again later on, he should Pashtus light without the brachos later on. There is a major discussion in the post computer in a different time zone, whether you can have your wife light for you at home when you're in a different time zone. You don't want to get too involved. Minchas Yitzchak says that you could argue that even if the person lighting from at home is serving as your shliach, he can still light for somebody in a different time zone, because the reason that the proper time for lighting is at night is that there will be presuminisa. It's not a din in the zman per se. So it's just that that's when there's most presuminisa. So even though you're in a zman where you don't have a chiv anymore, because in your where you are, there's no longer presuminisa, but if back home your shliach is doing it in a zman that it is presuminisa, Minchas Yitzchak suggests maybe that is a proper fulfillment of the mitzvah. Now there is a discussion also in the poskim: is it dafka that when Reb Zeira got married, his wife lit for him? What about his kids? Can his kids light for him? So the Eli Rabba, according to the Mishnah Berurah, explains that even though our minhag is to have every person in the house light a separate menorah, a married woman doesn't light for herself because vishto kigufo. And there are many that are knowing that way, that a married woman doesn't light because of vishto kigufo. Rav Shachter thought that that was a very strange application of vishto kigufo. Meichi tesi that vishto kigufo patters from a mitzvah. Vishto kigufo did an edus, it did an medarim. Meichi tesi vishto kigufo, if I make kiddush and my wife didn't hear kiddush yet, she said, I didn't hear kiddush, can you make kiddush again? I could just say, don't worry about it, it's okay. Vishto kigufo, I made kiddush, so it's ki'ilu, you made kiddush. No, we never say yishto gufo to pat from mitzvah, but whatever it is, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Eli Rabba. So if we were to accept that concept of yishto gufo, it's possible that when the Gemara says that Rabbi Zeira's wife lit for him, it was Dafka, his wife, that was able to light for him and was able to be motzi him, but not through lighting of other people in his household. So the Maskeres HaShulchan, Simchot Lam Tesef Kot Yudzayin, points out that if your wife is lighting for him, she doesn't have to have specific intention to include you in mind in the lighting, because ishto gufo. But if someone else is lighting for you, then they have to dafka have you in mind in the lighting, because then we no longer say a kigufo kind of vart. But the most popular and common shaila when it comes to this kind of issue in Ner Chanukah is you're out of the house when, you know, for you're at your in-law's house or parents' house for the night, and you're not sure where you should light Ner Chanukah. So the Chayadim, the Prichadash, both say that when someone goes with his entire family to somebody else's home, even if he returns home during Chanukah for short periods of time, they go in to get something, whatever, if you're away for the entire Chanukah, you should light where you're eating and sleeping and not in the home that you live in during the rest of the year, because that becomes your home for the entire Chanukah. Rav Shechter writes in Bikvei Hatzon that this is Dafka Adin if you're away for the entire Chanukah, because that's when you're kovei yourself, that becomes l'kol zman mitzvaso, compares it to a bittul of karm k'sasos at the bottom of a sukkah, that only when it's there, kol zman mitzvaso, is it considered batal to the structure of the sukkah. So when you go somewhere else for an entire zman of Chanukah, so then you become a ben bayis of that other place that you are. But you go just for one day, whatever, then you still have a din of nachsunai. Then you still have a din of a guest, and you shouldn't light. You should pay money, or ideally you should get home and light. But otherwise, you should pay money. What if you go in just for the evening? You go into friends or family for the evening, but you plan on sleeping at home. So Rav Moshe, Nigros Moshe, or Deichel Gimel Simin Yudalat Osei says that somebody goes with his entire family to eat at another person's house should try to get home to light or light before he goes anywhere. But if it's extremely difficult for him to get back, so that's which is the most common case, extremely difficult. You have a Chanukah party, they always start at the worst times. For some reason, every Chanukah party starts like an hour before the Zman and goes like till 3 hours after the Zman. They're always at the worst times. Weddings also, always at the worst time. So that's a very, very challenging situation. So if somebody's going to be home, then better to have somebody light for you at home. Pashas is you're not yotze when you go light at a wedding. You're not yotze anything by lighting. You go to a Chanukah party, you're not yotze anything when you just light at the. That's not your makom at all. Mishnah Berurah says that if you have an issue of you're not sure whether your makom lino or your makom achila is your main place, so you go basar makom achila. But that's when both are yours. You have a place where you eat. You have a place where you sleep. They're both your places. So it's not even talking about in the same house. If the same house, the whole house is fine. But we're talking about you have one house where that's your eating home and one house that's your sleeping home. Good. So then you would light in the place that you eat. But Stam, you just happen to be eating somewhere one night. Absolutely. You don't light Ner Chanukah. So the issue is, what about Matzoy Shabbos? So if you're going away for Shabbos, so you gave a dollar to the host for Shabbos. Now comes Matzoy Shabbos. You're going to go back home and you're going to sleep at home. So again, the Pashtus is, and all the poskim say this, that you should go back home and light at home. You shouldn't light where you were for Shabbos. The yeshiva dormitory is very tricky. In the yeshiva dorm, you see, Baruch Hashem, we don't have such problems here in the Shlomo, but in the yeshiva dorm, there's a major issue. One of my talmidim is in Rav Shechter's here now. He used to be in my shir, asked me what should he do about lighting in the dorm in YU. He's in YU, and the rule in YU is that they don't let you light in the dorm rooms because of a fire hazard, or by the dorm room door because of a fire hazard. So they set up at the lobby of the dorm building, they set up Neros Chanukah, or you can light in the dining room if you want, they let you do that too. So Rav Shechter holds, and Pashtus, he doesn't need me to tell him he's correct, but he makes a pretty compelling case that you're not really Yotze lighting in the dining room, nor are you Yotze lighting in the lobby of the dormitory. That you're not Yotze in either of those places. Why? Because the Makom Achila, when do we say you go bust in the Makom Achila? When both places are yours, the place where you sleep and the Makom Achila. Over there, the Makom Achila is for everybody. Your dorm room is yours. That's your private place. The dining room is for everybody. And even though we paskin that the proper Makom for Ner Chanukah is the Pesach HaChatzer, if you have multiple houses in the Chatzer, it's not at the doorway of your house, the doorway of the Chatzer, and some would want to argue that the lobby of the dorm has a din of the Pesach HaChatzer, because the entire dorm building would have a din of the Chatzer. Shach says it's not really the case, because the Chatzer was something that you would use for your personal reason. They would do laundry in the Chatzer, they would do all sorts of different activities in the Chatzer. The dorm building, you don't do anything, you just pass through it to get to your room. So really, the proper Makom Hadlaka is by the room. It wouldn't be by the lobby. So that's a major problems. Rav Shechter recommended for this Talmud. I knew what he would tell him. I told him to ask Rav Shechter. I didn't want to be the bad guy. So he asked Rav Shechter, and he told him, you got to go home every night. He said, go home to your parents' house every night and light Chanukah there. That's where you live. And then that would be where you live the entire Chanukah. Big hassle to travel back and forth, but he thought that's the only thing you could do. When I was in YU, I think I didn't go home. I don't think I did that. I think when I ended up, I wouldn't make a bracha. I was lighting our Chanukah in the lobby, being somech on those. There are several Rosh Yeshiva in YU that hold you can be Yotze that way. And it answer remained somebody else's bracha. I couldn't bring myself to make a bracha. I also couldn't bring myself to schlep back and forth all the way to Lawrence every single night of Chanukah. But anyway, that's the long and short of guests on Chanukah.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.